Hello and welcome to another episode of Crafting the Short Story. This is episode 6. This week's topic is going to be when lightning strikes. That is, when someone actually makes it big, makes it into the public eye. I guess I should say that the two are not mutually inclusive or mutually exclusive. That is, someone can be big and important in a literary field and still not be a common name at that very moment. And nor do I think that all the names that we know at this very moment will be known 5 years from now, because making it, I think, is something that is relegated largely to being a known name in a pop cultural sense. And of course, that doesn't necessarily line up with what is true success, especially for a writer, and that would be, I think, a long, fruitful career with a dedicated set of readers, certainly some monetary success, but mostly the ability to continue doing what you love. And that may not be the same as having flash-in-a-pan success, even if at this very moment there are several successful writers we couldn't name and several writers for whom lightning struck that we could name. But again, those are the ones our kids are not going to be able to name. Anyway, what I think is important is that when I go out there and I'm looking for aid and instruction and advice, not necessarily in book form. Many authors obviously have written how to write books or something like that, and I appreciate those, especially from authors who have been around a long time, written in multiple genres, etc. But I'm talking about anything really from a blog post to an interview to a book, offering writing advice for fledgling writers. I have issue when this is from someone who is only famous right now. Those authors who are not going to be known a few years from now, giving advice that their current fans or simply people who know their name are taking as gospel. The important thing to note is that just because I would say, okay, lightning striking, another analogy I consistently use in terms of this is winning the lottery. Because certainly someone has turned in a ticket and they are playing, and therefore they might win the lottery. They have submitted anything from fan fiction on a fan fiction site to a novel, to a screenplay, perhaps even a short story, whatever. I mean, they're obviously, you're putting in those tickets in order to play the lottery. But just because someone was chosen as a lottery winner doesn't necessarily mean they are better, have more merit, or have anything really wise to say compared with their contemporaries who just happen to have not won the lottery so far. Because odds are, you're not going to win the lottery. Just like the real lottery, you're probably not going to win. That does not mean that you don't have merit just because you've not enjoyed your 15 minutes of fame. So I don't want to pick on E.L. James, 50 Shades of Grey author, but I will a little because I know that her current fame has spawned a lot of opportunities for her to reach out and give advice to especially younger writers, but also genre writers, obviously. I mean, I will say that 50 Shades of Grey did sort of take that genre out of being marginalized and into the more mainstream. I mean, that is that if you had a normal novel, that subject matter, I doubt you would be able to read it publicly without bearing some sort of embarrassment. I mean, you shouldn't be embarrassed by reading anything. You can read whatever in the world you want in public. But my point being that you had people buying these 50 Shades of Grey like it was popcorn in, airports and everywhere else where they're going to be encountering strangers and reading with no shame whatsoever, which is wonderful. That's how you should read. But let's face the facts, if I don't know that normally if you had some book that had the same subject matter and perhaps even the cover spelled that out, that it would not bear some social stigma that would prevent someone from doing exactly that. 50 Shades of Grey definitely plowed through those barriers, and that's great. That's a wonderful thing. However, I think it is a little dubious that E.L. James, from what I understand, initially writing this as fan fiction, and it lightning struck, she won the lottery, boom, there you go, something hugely successful that everyone loves to pick on it, but it doesn't really matter. She won the lottery, whether you say she deserves it or not. However, as a result of that, she has merit simply based on winning the lottery. And people saying, well, how do you do this and how do you do that? Her habits, her insights, her experience, those things are not necessarily any better than even a fledgling writer. And just because she won, in other words, I think it's a correlation causality issue. And that is, yes, her writing ability is correlated with her success because she played the lottery. She produced something at length. Good for you. That's great. But it was not the cause, I would argue. Because just as easily, she could have been writing about something. It went in front of the same people, but it wasn't something that they thought they could market and make successful. And then she would be in a slush pile along with everybody else who is a little bit better than her, a little bit worse than her, or exactly at her skill level. And no one would be looking for her advice. So we, I think, make the correlation causality fallacy often in terms of soliciting author advice, thinking that somehow if we follow that advice, that we too will win the lottery. When in reality, depends on how many tickets you have in as to your chances, but the chances are still really, really low. And it depends on what the writer's goal is as well. If your goal is to win the lottery, I want to be the next E.L. James. I know I can write better than 50 Shades of Grey. Well, that's not what's at stake. If you can write something better than 50 Shades of Grey, it doesn't really mean much. You're not going to be successful. And you might look at Twilight and Stephanie Meyer and say, oh God, that was so awful, and I know I can write better. I'm going to write a better vampire novel. Well, good for you. And, you know, granted, you could argue that the vampire craze is probably waning and it will wax again at some time, and maybe then your book can get picked up. But the idea that writing something that emulates something that enjoyed success and believing that that will allow you to win the lottery is completely erroneous. It might give you a few more tickets. More tickets, let's say, than writing something that was in a genre that isn't very popular, or not finishing a full-length work. I mean, let's face it, you could write a fantastic short story, and you're not going to bleed this metaphor a bit more. You're not going to have as many tickets, let's say, as someone who has written something full-length that can be more successfully marketed, whether in film or in novel form. Same with poetry. Is there a chance that someone will win the poetry lotto and actually have something picked up and appreciated and mass marketed or something? The odds of that even are pretty low, that something that is poetry is going to go into the mainstream. But the odds are, of course, exceptionally low that it's going to be you. That it's going to be whoever's listening to this and whoever is very skilled, you know, or just beginning. The point being, it's not a meritocracy. Now, who is actually giving good advice and has success in that advice sometimes is meritocratic. And that would be, you know, obviously Stephen King's On Writing is hung in there, John Gardner, Sol Stein. Many, many people have written really good instructional works on writing who are more than qualified to do so based on, you know, the length of time they've been successfully writing, how long they lived off their art. Even still, I would still argue they're lottery winners. So there, I'm sure, is probably 1,000 people. For every one person you're taking advice from, there are probably 1,000 more who could give you better advice who you've simply never heard of. Now, this could, I suppose, be an argument for just going out there and shopping titles on writing, because more than likely, if you find a title from an author, let's say, who has enjoyed some success in the more low-key definition of that is to say, has made a living off of writing, is both prolific and skilled, and has worked on their craft, or again, has something, you know, if it's an author who is very specific to the kind of writing you want to write, I think you're probably just as good listening to them as you would be to the more mainstream instructors, and better off than you would be listening to these flash in the pan lottery winners, because I don't know that the advice they're giving, I know it's not going to help you win the lottery. I don't know it's even going to help your craft. However, there's a caveat, a big caveat, and that is because I believe this works the same way in all kinds of careers that have to do with artistry and media. So I think it will work the same for singers, and I think it will work the same for, oh my goodness, I mean, you know, screenplay writers and athletes and all this kind of stuff, is that, yes, they might be lottery winners, but there are probably things that they are going to be exposed to. There definitely will be things that they're going to be exposed to in the process of milking that 15 minutes of fame that are insightful and that you probably won't get elsewhere. So while merit might not have brought them to that level, they are probably going to be exposed to exceptionally skilled editors. They're probably going to get market insight that they're not going to get, that they never would have gotten anywhere else. Also, if they're making a living off of their, I mean, obviously E.L. James has made enough to make a living off of her writing. Well, what does that imply? It implies that now she can write all she wants. Maybe she sketched out the original thing on a napkin or just was relegated to the fan fiction boards, but now she has more than enough money to continue writing, and the more hours you put into it, the better you're going to get. So there is an argument also for a lottery winner giving advice. Again, I don't think that's going to help you win the lottery, but it might provide a unique viewpoint simply because they are going to be in a position that no non-lottery winner is going to be in. Simply won't. Even a successful writer, one who maybe is working the grind and writes well enough and gets paid well enough to make a living off their writing, they're still not going to have the kind of exposure to the skilled, you know, people that the whether it's, you know, publicist or their managers or the echelon of editors that they are probably dealing with, the people dealing with their derivative rights and all these things, and just the fact that their works are probably going to be derived, you know, that there's going to be derivative works of, you know, of film and comics and things like that based on some flash in the pan work. Of course there is, because that's more money to be made. The fact that they're going to be exposed to that does merit some attention. I am just saying remain dubious if it's advice in general, I would say. Just to say, well, here's how to improve your writing. Well, I'm not so sure that a lottery winner really has exercises or anything really insightful to say about that that you couldn't glean from people who had not won the lottery. That's all I have for this week. Again, check out the podcast at darrentodd.net or subscribe. I'm also taking comments as to what you would like to see covered, and look for future podcasts where I'll have a special guest and we'll have sort of a roundtable discussion about different things affecting the short story and general fiction market.